Good morning to each of you. I say amen to what was shared already this morning. I just marvel at the Spirit of God and His faithfulness to us. And from the brothers sharing and the song, I don't know if you paid attention to the song that we just got done singing. Asking the Lord to teach us to number our days, because there's a judgment coming. And for the believer, the judgment isn't necessarily to be a fearful thing, but the scripture does teach us that we will be rewarded according to our works. And that's separate from salvation. So, Scripture would teach us that all of our works can be burned up, and yet a man or a woman can be saved. And so the question to you this morning is actually an invitation to hear, to consider, and to follow. Because the God that we serve isn't just a nonchalant kind of a God. But like we heard already, He's asking that we come with our whole heart, and what we come with faith, and that we come believing with expectation. I hope you came here with expectation, not because of what I'm going to share necessarily, but because of the fact that we can trust the Spirit of God and the fact that we can trust His Word. And part of what was on my heart to share this morning, I'm not even sure how I'm going to bring all my thoughts together, but nonetheless, I invite you to consider the Word of God, the Spirit of God. I invite you to hear, and I invite you to follow, not necessarily my ideas, but I'm inviting you to follow the scriptures that we're going to read. And the difference that the scriptures that we're going to hear make in our lives. In Psalm 119:9, it says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is by taking heed thereunto according to the word. This week I had the privilege of being in two weddings. And at both these weddings, those that knew the groom, and yesterday as well, the bride, but both these weddings, the young men that got married were known to at least to follow the word. Doesn't mean that they were perfect. It doesn't mean that they were had everything together, but they had a reputation, both of them, that they were seeking the Lord. And as I was sitting in these weddings, ceremonies, I was impacted by the words, the scriptures, but not just only the scriptures, also the people and how they presented it. At my niece's wedding, the lead pastor, if you will, continually, and I'm not even sure if he consciously thought about it, but it really stood out to me. He continually talked about the Spirit of God. And the reality is, How can the Spirit of God work in your heart unless there's fertile soil? So consider the state of your heart, whether it is hard and dry, or it is whether it is open to receive. And you know what? If you find yourself and that your heart is hard, I still invite you to hear, to listen, to consider, and to follow what the Scriptures say. In all of these things, I'm not asking that you are able to speak the sermon back to me. That's not the point. What I want you to do, though, is take home and the things that are riveting to you, the things that jump up off the page at you, the things that are real to you, I want you to take heed to them. Because if they're out of the Word of God, they have the power to change you. I hope that you believe that we serve a powerful God. How this powerful God, where are we in relation to this powerful God? And how can the Word of God come forth through us as human? It's when we take heed to the Word. When we allow it to change us. When we allow it to be our reference. The story that Dallas shared about the two different generational lines is real. And I don't know that we too often think about the fact that maybe life is more about the people coming after us than it is for me right now. And you know, that makes a big difference. If I live my life for me right now, it's going to be different than if I live my life considering that I'm impacting in the next couple generations a host of people. And the reality is that we can't even see that because it's not here yet. And yet, when you consider generations and consider your grandpa or your great-grandpa and how many people were impacted by him, or your grandma or your great-grandma, what I'm here to share about today is really what's on my heart is in Ephesians 3, verse 14, I'm just going to start reading there, but it kind of captures what I want to share today. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So consider the position. When I bow my knee, I'm not standing, I'm kneeling. I'm giving reverence to a powerful God. I'm choosing to surrender to a powerful God. And I'm going to keep using those words because I want you to consider that it's as you surrender to the truth of God's Word that it will change you, that it will give you power to overcome, that it will give you life and sustenance. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I pray that God would strengthen you this morning in your inner man, that His Spirit would strengthen you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of God. How do we know the love of God? How do you know the love of God? A love that passes knowledge. A love that fills us with the fullness of God. That's what impacted me this week as I considered a home, new homes being established. That reality is that I hope we first knew love at home. That's what God ordained to be. If you didn't experience love at home, God is able to redeem that. But His order is that we would have experienced love at home. That mom and dad would be woven together with the Spirit of God like a threefold cord. Yesterday at the wedding, the MC in the service, he brought this cord up there for those of you that weren't there. And some of you may have seen maybe your sister's hair or a girl's hair. They take three strands and they weave it together to make a braid. And that's really what's talking about. A threefold cord that isn't easily broken. And as I pondered that reality for myself, I felt protection, because as my wife and I are woven with the Spirit of God, there's a sense of fear there, not being afraid of God, but a sense of that, and also a sense of protection, because you know what? That Spirit of God isn't going to allow me to deviate. He's going to convict me by the word. He's going to draw me with His Spirit when I deviate away from the closeness of the fellowship between my wife and I and the Spirit of God. And all these things matter, because when we allow the Spirit of God to transform us, the Word of God to change us, and we bear the testimony that we're men and women that seek after the Lord, that take heed to His word, we make a difference. And the difference is captured in what we heard in what Dallas shared this morning, in that we affect generations. And to further testify, if you're a single here today, I was further impacted by a faithful single who is choosing to believe and trust the Lord at the place that they're at. Choosing to believe that in their single state, they are able to touch lives and make a difference. And as this individual shared with me, he said, "I don't always see it. Sometimes I wonder why I'm doing what I'm doing. Sometimes when you kind of look at life through your own lens, through your own reasoning, it doesn't really make sense. And we kind of sometimes want to deviate away from what we know that we should do." But he went on to share that it's when he looks back that he realizes, ah, here, there, that the Spirit of God was able to impact people through him. And I think that's the burden of my heart this morning, as no matter where you find yourself in life this morning, know that you are impacting people. So it's not just impacting them for good, but if you're doing wrong, you're impacting them for wrong. We all have the ability to choose whom we're going to serve. We all have the ability to choose to surrender to the power of God, to choose to humble ourselves like Jesus did. He chose to obey his Father, to come to this earth, and he didn't live life getting the air or the glory of man. But he followed the single purpose of obeying his Father. Scripture tells us that he came as a servant to serve. And the reality is that if we're going to find life, we're going to have to model after our Savior, because that's what he is. He's our Savior. Again, I invite you to hear, consider, and to follow our Savior. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you believe? Are you confident that his power is working in you? Do you believe that when you allow the Spirit of God to move, that you're going to impact people? To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, things that are bigger than what we understand. And it's for his glory. It's been said that our gifts that we have are not for us. The gifts that we have are for the people around us. And when we humbly surrender to the power and lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, then those gifts are harnessed and captured and able to produce fruit. Consider with me a horse out in the wild. What good is that horse? He's maybe able to fend off predators. He's able to kick them. He's able to fend for himself. But what good is that horse? But people are able to train horses and to bring the power of a horse into subjection, that it bears fruit, useful fruit. I'm not likening you to a horse, but I want you to capture the similarity in the story. The principles are the same. As the horse trainer leads the horse and the rope's tight, whose job is it to loosen the rope? Well, the horse is going to say, the trainer, of course, like, let me go, you're making my life miserable. But as he pulls that horse, and it's not just pulling it by sheer force, because the horse could pull him away, but there's that reality there, that uncomfortableness of the man being powerful, in a sense of God has given him, man, the ability to dominate the horse, even though the horse is more powerful in strength. So the man's, he's leading the horse, and the horse isn't really wanting to follow. For the sake of the illustration, whose job is it to slacken, bring slack to the line? Well, in this case, it's the horse's responsibility. Whose job is it between you and God? If God is speaking to you, if God is reprimanding you with Scripture, if God is calling you, drawing you, not just in a mean way, but He draws us. I hope He's drawing you. If He's not drawing you, then it might just be that you're a heathen man and a publican. Is the Spirit of God faithful? Is he? Do you find that when you read the Word of God that it convicts you? That it draws you? Whose job is it to slacken the line? It's our job. And then when we surrender to the power and the love of God, then we find release. Scripture talks about that release as peace. Most of you have probably experienced when you obeyed God, when you surrendered, when you did what you know was right, after maybe wrestling through it, you released, you found peace. And rest. And so part of what's on my heart to share this morning is simply to help us to be strengthened in the inner man. To hear the Scriptures in a way that God is a God of love. He's inviting us and when we surrender to Him, then we experience the peace and rest of His presence. Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Scripture is teaching us here that we're to walk in lowliness and meekness, that we're to take heed to the Word, to walk worthy of our calling. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Have you considered that gift of Christ? The grace, it says, to everyone, unto every one of us is given grace. I didn't take the time to look at and find all the Scriptures that talk about the long-suffering and the mercy of God. And in reality, the time that we're living in is considered the day of grace. Why is the time that we're living in considered to be the day of grace? Because there's judgment coming. And again, if we've received the Lord Jesus and allowed his cleansing power, and we've chosen to be a believer, that doesn't need to scare us. It's just reality that there's judgment coming. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he let captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. So get this, he gave all these gifts in our body for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And if I can share, what I'm trying to share is that as believers, we came here, I believe, to be strengthened and to be edified and to be perfected. And the way that works is by us taking heed thereunto according to the word. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What you contribute to life impacts people. Are you impacting people with the fruit of the Spirit? Are you impacting people with your own ideas? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. He's wanting us to be able to have our roots down. He's wanting us to be able to have a report. Do the people around you see you as a believer? Do the people around you see you as someone bringing forth good works? And I know that's a little bit, on the flip side of that is the fact that we fear man and we just put on a show. I hope that you're not just putting on a show. I hope that you're not just going for an earthly reward to satisfy the people around you, but that you're going for a heavenly reward. Are you doing what you're doing for a heavenly reward? Do you believe that there is a heavenly reward? That we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. How did you learn Christ? If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Do you remember what our messages have been leading up to here? we had heard about the threshold, and then we heard about putting on the new man. I pray that you grab hold of life, of eternal life, that you get seasoned, that the Word of God is embedded in your heart and in your soul. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Word, the reason we get together, is to be renewed. But sometimes we have to put off, and sometimes we have to put on. It talks about putting off and putting on. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We're supposed to work with our hands so that we have to share with him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Again, implying that we impact people. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The Word's telling us that we should not be caught up with foolish talking, but rather we should draw our heart to giving of thanks. The reason I'm highlighting that is because it's very, very important. The posture of your heart is very important. Someone that's given over to filthy talking and jesting, is living in the flesh and following the flesh. But someone that is giving thanks is choosing to bring their body and their spirit under subjection. In Romans, we read that, don't you know that who you surrender yourself to is your, I'm not quoting it properly, it's in Romans 6 or 5 or 6, I'm not sure if I can find it now, but whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey. And we're called to walk, to be edifying. We're called to impact. And the reality is we will impact whether we believe we are or not. Sorry, I lost my spot where I was in Ephesians. Verse 4.
neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them, of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest or make known that is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 19, it talks about speaking to yourselves. In other words, we have the responsibility to lead, to choose how we live. We have the responsibility to draw on the Spirit of God. We need to engage. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'm just going to turn over to Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, which means put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. What that means is that Christ is for all people. Doesn't matter what culture or nation you come from, Christ is for each and every one of us. And whoever takes heed to the word of God will be blessed. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How many times have we heard an admonition to be thankful? I think we've heard it at least three times now, and the scriptures that I read. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you a little bit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you when I get around to it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. There's something powerful that happens, I believe, when we choose to sing to the Lord. I don't understand it, but when we choose in our tribulation, and even when life is going well, to read psalms or scripture, to sing hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That speaks of someone that's surrendered to their circumstances. That's someone that's living life not with the rope tight and that they're pulling back. In this case, God is the one leading us. And if are we always balking at the rope, is the rope tight? Or are we quick to hear, quick to listen, quick to consider? And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And if you need to memorize that verse, do. Because it's very important that we don't live trying to please each other. Yes, it's important that we have a good reputation. But that's not the ultimate. The ultimate is that we, whatever we do it heartily, and that we do it to the Lord. Because why is it important that whatever we do heartily as to the Lord? Goes on to say why. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. With God, it doesn't matter who you are. If we violate God's word, then we're going to get a consequence. If we choose to follow God's word, we get a blessing. It's really that simple. So, I invite you to take heed to the word of God. Not just on Sunday morning. I would say that the world around us is attacking us with busyness. I think we do it to ourselves. Do you have time to read the Word of God in an unpressured way? Do you have time to read the Word of God to actually sit down and have a meal out of the Word of God? Why does it matter? It matters because when we take heed thereunto, according to the word, it changes us. When we surrender to the power of God and the love of God, we impact people the way God designed us to impact people. You see, we need each other. We don't have it all together. Each one of us is able to give in to our flesh. And yet, that's not where the Scripture's focus is. The focus of the Scripture is us to stand up, to receive forgiveness, to embrace His Word, to allow His Word to change us, impact us, so that we strengthen each other. Imagine if leaders, if governments would take heed to the word, and we would have laws that would command us to take heed to the word. And I realize that it's not in legalism and performance that we find life. But when the people around us are given to lawlessness, it does impact us. And the only thing that we have to counter the lawlessness that's around us is the Word of God. We need to allow, and further, it's not just an intellectual knowledge of the Word of God. The Pharisees knew the Scripture from the front to the back. It's allowing the Word of God to penetrate me where the finger of God is putting His finger on. Where the Scripture is knocking at my heart, where I know I'm guilty. Again, don't confuse salvation with performance. And yet it matters. It matters because when we live lawlessly, it's like we erode the morale of the people around us. And when we allow the Word of God to impact us, we actually build up the morale of the people around us. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning, and we just want to thank You for Your Word. We want to thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that each one of us could take heed to Your Word, to allow it to do what it needs to do in our heart, to strengthen us in the inner man. Father, we come to You trusting. Sometimes we need to step out in faith. Father, I pray for provision for each of and everyone listening, for those that are taking heed. Father, I pray that You would provide spiritual nourishment in our hearts, that You would strengthen us in the inner man, that we could live influencing and impacting each other positively, upbuilding. I pray that You would have Your way in our hearts. We commit it to You in Jesus' name. Amen.